Seeking for the help and blessing of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, the chapter we read, and reading for our text, verses 10, 11, and 12. Ruth, chapter 2, from verse 10, three verses. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, that is said unto Boaz, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Ruth chapter 2 and verses 10 to 12. I don't usually have a long text, but we have this evening. And what is upon my spirit is Ruth's question answered. She asked the question in verse 10, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answers her in the following two verses. The book of Ruth, of course, is very well known to you all, a beautiful book. And of course, one of the reasons why it is recorded in the Word of God is because it shows forth the line unto our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that in the close of the book when we're given just a little summary of the generations. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Something that the book was written by Samuel, certainly the addition of the genealogy down there going several generations past Ruth. It is written looking back at what has been recorded and no doubt passed down generation to generation. The inspired, infallible Word of God. God breathed the Word here. But how careful the Holy Spirit is to show the line of the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. We have, of course, the kingship line that is traced in Matthew chapter 1. Then we have the line from Mary in Luke 3, going right back down to Adam and to God. And they all meet in David, in King David. David's son Solomon's the king line. David's son Nathan is the line of the seed of the woman. And so the book of Ruth very importantly traces that line to David. And it embraces, as we also have with Rahab, a Gentile in the line to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I often think of the narratives of the history of Israel, and especially the amount of names that are written, is a wonderful answer, really, to back up what Peter says. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Because what we have set forth is a very real history, a recording of what God has brought to pass, not cunningly devised fables, but that which actually involved men and women and generations, and the wonderful providence of God, as we see here. This book, no doubt, accounts that are related in it, probably some 1,300 years before our Lord came. I would place it somewhere near the beginning, early time of the Judges, the beginning of the book. It came to pass in the days when the Judges ruled, but not specified as exact time, but from the genealogies, and there's no mention of some of the wars that happened of that time. But it all centered upon God's work of completing and bringing about the line to the Lord. Boaz is a type of Christ, and one of the beautiful aspects of this book, and we can't help feeling that God doesn't waste a word of his holy sacred word. He gives the word, and it's not just for the line to Christ, but it also is to be a blessing to the living family of God. And the Old Testament, full of types of Christ and types of his church. And we have here Boaz, a type of Christ, especially in being a near kinsman unto Ruth, and Ruth, a type of the church, or a member of that church, a seeker, one that is being brought from without and brought to be then united to Christ as his bride. Paul, of course, in Ephesians speaks very beautifully of Christ and his church. I want to look this evening at this word as a type and as an instruction to those that are seeking Christ and those that are coming amongst the people of God. We'd be very aware that Ruth here literally was a stranger, not of the children of Israel, but every one of God's children, when the Lord deals with them, they begin as a stranger, an out-of-court worshipper, and that they are then brought in. And so in that respect, we may see the parallels and the instruction to all that are seeking the Lord. And I hope there is that in the subject this evening. There'd be a specific help to those not able to see the grace God has already given them and where he is actually leading them and where it will end. So I want to look with the Lord's help at three points. Firstly, Ruth's question, why? Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And then secondly, the favours that were shown her as to bring her to ask this question, the grace, the knowledge that Boaz showed of her. Why was this so? The favours that were shown her that made her ask this question. And then thirdly, Ruth's question answered. How does Boaz answer this question? Firstly, Ruth's question, why? It's obvious that Ruth herself couldn't work it out why. She could not see why Boaz was showing her this favor and why she had found grace in his eyes. She viewed herself differently than what Boaz was viewing her. And you think of how she does describe herself, and she perceived these almost as hindrances, things that would stop him from showing any favor to her. She says in verse 10, "Seeing I am a stranger." She was not of the children of Israel. She was from Moab, a nation that was cursed of God. They did not meet the children of Israel with bread and water when they came through the wilderness, but rather they hired Balaam against them. And she views herself as not really fitting in with the people of God, with the people of that land. You know, sometimes it struck me as going about as a minister, and when I have gone to stay at some places, and I haven't been to that place before, and I've asked after the family, and it may be, and this several times this has happened, that the wife would say, "Well, you wouldn't know me. I'm not from this denomination. I'm not being brought up." And it seems to be something, even though they may have been married for many, many years, been attending one of our churches for many, many years, they can't seem to shake off the thought that actually I've come in from outside. I'm not really one of you. It's such a pity in a way that that is the case. Sometimes it is because we might look for a family connection, and some of us who have been brought up in the denomination, we could go back many years, over 100 years, of those that have actually been, and the graves are in all of our chapels, and we can see our descendants in that way. Well, here is Ruth. She's coming in, and as we saw at the end of the book of Ruth, we have a line of descendants to Christ, but here is Ruth just coming in. She's not coming in the line of Abraham or Jacob, Isaac. She's not. And she views herself in this way. She says, "I'm a stranger," as if that should be a reason why I'm questioning. Why are you showing favor to me? I'm a stranger. Now, there's one hearing me tonight, and you feel like that. You feel a stranger. You can go and walk right with Ruth here, and you can then trace her path, and you can see, well, you feel like she felt, and yet it wasn't an obstacle, was it? But this is how she viewed herself, and it may be how you view yourself as well. We think also of her humility, how humble she was, how low she was. She's not coming before Boaz in any way of pride at all. You be reminded, the path of blessing in the Word of God is a path of humility. Our Lord spoke it. He says, you go to a feast, you take the lowest seat. And when the owner of the feast comes, he will say, "Friend, come up higher," instead of saying, "Make place for another," and you take with shame, you take the lower place. And our Lord, how we find in Philippians, how he went lower and lower, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but then he takes upon him that form of a servant, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and then found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And he humbled himself, and it's all the path of lower and lower and lower, and then God lifting him up. The path of our Saviour is set before us. Whoso exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself, he shall be blessed. He shall be lifted up of God. And Ruth was walking in this path, nothing in self, and humbled before Boaz to even ask this question when he's showing this favor. Instead of saying, I deserve this and I deserve that, she's acting, I deserve nothing, but I'm having favor. What a good position to start off from, and succumbing at the blessings of the Lord. The views for herself, even her inability to see a reason for the kindness, was really a mark towards her, and it's the reason why she has to ask this question. Another thing, how she views herself, is that she's not like one of thine handmaidens. We find this at the end of verse 13. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Maybe there's one this evening and you have been looking on the Lord's dear people and those who may be long in the way, and you view them and say, I'm not like them. I'm not like thine handmaidens. And you really feel this. And this is how Ruth felt as well. And so she asked this question. No doubt many things made her say about that, not like their handmaidens, without knowing the customs of both nations, hard to tell. But I know certainly I was born in this land, but the 31 years in Australia and coming over here, there's often little things, not so much perhaps now, but maybe still, you can be conscious of an accent that is not the same as over here, though England has many varied accents, but no doubt that was a difference with Ruth. And then there's words and phrases that are used, things that we call things in Australia, you don't call them the same over here. And sometimes it can be quite embarrassing in that. Went into a shop years ago in Tunbridge, and there behind the counter was lots and lots of Wellington boots from floor to the ceiling. And I asked for some gum boots, and the shopkeeper said he hadn't got any. And I just pointed to everything behind him and said, yes, you have. They're from floor to ceiling. He said, we don't call them gum boots. They're Wellington boots. And there's little things like that, that she would have found one thing after another that different, the different customs, the different way they ate, the different way they drink, and the way they dressed, and those things. And she viewed herself then not like those handmaidens of Boaz. And how many of the Lord's dear children, those who are beginning to seek the Lord, whether they've been brought up under the sound of truth or not, but especially if they've been brought in from outside and haven't been with our churches, that they feel this difference and feel it to be an obstacle, not only in associating with the people of God, but in actually being blessed by the Lord himself, as if it was a hindrance to the Lord embracing them as his dear children and blessing them in their souls and visiting their souls. And Ruth is a wonderful example in this way, an encouragement to those that feel like this. Even though I was brought up under the sound of the truth, yet when the Lord first started to work in my heart, I was woefully ignorant of the truths of God. I knew some of them in the letter, but nothing in the heart. And to commune with, to go with the people of God, I felt that great difference. Sitting at the back of the chapel in Melbourne, seeing the Lord's dear people around the Lord's table. How could I ever be there? I was not like them. And how I saw them as the excellent of the earth and the blessed and the distance between me and them. But it is a path that many of the Lord's dear children walk. So Ruth's question, when the Lord starts showing them favours, when his people start showing them favours, when they welcome them, they wonder why. Why is this favour being shown? And I want to look secondly at the favours that Ruth had that made her to ask this question because of how she viewed herself, and it didn't seem to match up with those things that were being shown her and the favours bestowed on her. So I want to look in the second place about the favours that were shown to her. There are seven I desire to bring before you. Firstly, there is God's providence in bringing her to Boaz's field. She had desired to go and to glean. And we read in verse 3 that her hap, or it says in the margin, it happened, was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Now we come at these harvest thanksgiving times, and throughout this land there are many, many fields, and in any locality, and especially when you go into the east side of England, the lower part east, which is the main arable side, how many farms, how many different ones, and no doubt in Bethlehem as well, as many that she could have chosen. But God ordered that providence. Of course, the harvesting here that we're talking of is the wheat, the barley harvest, the arable ones, the ones that this year in our land have not fared well at all. And we notice the Lord's hand in reducing the harvest. Having our services as we do towards the end of October, we would be in a position to view other harvests like the sugar beet and potatoes that are well underway now, nearly harvested, that have done good yields, and we would give thanks to the Lord for that. But in this account with Ruth, we only read of Boaz, he is his wheat and his barley harvest, that's his farm. But here is a favour that was shown, and she came to his field. God's providence, God's ordering it, God's directing of it. And I believe this first step, she no doubt would not have seen that as much a favour at the beginning as later on. More and more, she would have been able to look back at that providence, and it may be as she walked along, she thought, will I go to that field or will I go to that field? And some of you may look back over your lives, and at times when you say there could easily have been a decision one way or another, shall I go to that university or that university? Shall I take that job or this job? Shall I go to that chapel for a service or that chapel? And you go to a Lord's house, and the Lord blesses the word through the minister that was there, and you look back right through your life that guided your footsteps to that ministry and to that sermon that was there. And so with this one, though I put it as a favour, it would have been a favour that as time went on, she saw more and more the significance of it. And may it be a challenge to some of us tonight to look back to those things that much hinged on the Lord's providence maybe years and years ago. I certainly, and I know some of you have heard me say it before, when we moved house over in Australia when I was just 7, and because myself and my brother are very close in age, 11 months apart, and when we changed schools, we should both have been in a composite grade 1 and 2. But they said, well, they're brothers. They put me in grade 3, and only halfway through the year realized their mistake. They said, he's doing all right. Leave him there. That little adjustment at 7 years of age has followed through in providences right through my life. Without that little tweak, that adjustment, that leaping and jumping 1 year, then many things would not have fitted in. And yet the Lord ordered that. And I've only never saw that at the time, but looking back, I've seen it more and more. And so this is a favour that would have grown on her, if you like. The second one was Boaz's charge for her to stay. And we find this in two places. We have in verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And then we have her rehearsing this to her mother-in-law, and she says in verse 21, that he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until I have ended all my harvest. It was a very important thing that she should have this from his lips, that authority, that she should so glean and stay and abide there. And even though it may be spoken by the Lord's dear people, how precious that is to a seeker. Those who are like Ruth, a bruised reed, easy could be discouraged, easy could put off. One little kind word in that way, and a charge even to stay. How much worth that is. And especially where it is traced unto the Lord and the Lord's goodness in doing that. Then there is Boaz's protection. He says in verse 9 that let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, that's his young men, and go thou after them. Have not I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? His protection must have been a daunting thing for a young woman, widow woman in that way, amongst the reapers, the young men, and yet she has the owner of the field, his protection, and he tells her of it. He tells her of the protection. We had this afternoon in Psalm 46 of the Lord's protection and care over his church and over his people. And the Lord tells his people they have that protection. Ruth, Boaz told her he had that protection. And may we view our heavenly Boaz, view our Lord Jesus Christ in this way, the way it would have been a comfort to Ruth, that what the Lord assures us, a comfort to us as well. And then we have in the fourth place how she was comforted, and he spake friendly to her in verse 13. She says, for thou, that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. I think it's one thing that we should always remember in our churches, that vital need of friendliness and to speak friendly. And I can say, and I wouldn't name any churches, but even as one of you and coming over from Australia, coming and visiting churches, and maybe some of you have found that when you visited other churches and you go in and you go out, and it might be quite an innocent thing. The congregation are used to not stopping around at the door. They all go to the car park and then they talk at the car park. But the visitor doesn't know that, and he's left standing at the chapel door thinking, well, no one's talking to me, and they've all gone home, little realizing around the corner in the car park they're all talking one to another, and they've forgotten the visitor and the stranger that has come. And I personally have known what it is to feel completely left out and ignored and discouraged. You feel like just going home and not going there anymore. And just a kind word and a taking under one's wing is so, so valuable. And I hope it's so with however many churches are represented tonight. Don't think when you get a visitor, well, we mustn't rush them, we mustn't crush them. Even if you have one of your number that can take that one under their wing and do just this, to speak kindly, friendly, that's all, spoken friendly, and comforted me. Now, she was a dear widow. We don't know, and especially during this time, we don't know, those who may come amongst us may certainly need comforting. They may come, as it were, on a knife's edge, come so fearful, so frightened, so tremblingly, and with such a burden of things happening at home and in their life, and how needful for this loving, comforting, gentle word. And dear friends, maybe watch out for this and be mindful of this in our assemblies. And I know you, dear friends, at Red Hill are very friendly and very, very comforting in this way. But we all do need to be reminded on this, and especially at this time with the pandemic and all that is happening. Maybe watch out for the trembling, humble Ruths that may come amongst us. In the fifth place, we have the provision of bread and of water. In verse 14, we read Boaz saying, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And then we have in verse 9, that when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she is having that provision that is made for her. And we think about that in a literal way as well. And who is my neighbour? The provision of looking after those in need in a literal way. But we think of it in a spiritual way as well. And with our heavenly Boaz, that he also, through his word, comforts his dear people, that he provides for them so that they do know what it is, that man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and that they drink also of that spiritual rock that followed the children of Israel. And that rock was Christ, the living waters that flow forth from Jerusalem, the living waters of the gospel. A soul in a spiritual way like Ruth is viewing a heavenly Boaz, viewing the Lord as favoring her with actually the provision, the same provision that even here the reapers had. She was put really in a more favored position than other gleaners that were with her in the field. And so she's able to see this is a favor that came from Boaz. And may we see what a favor that is if the Lord has given us crumbs of mercy, crumbs from the Master's table, food from his word, and the blessings of the gospel, and that which does satisfy our thirst. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, Ruth knew what it was to have this favour from Boaz. And Lord's dear coming, seeking, gleaning people know what it is when he favours them likewise with the gospel provisions from the house of God. The sixth favour is in how much she gleaned. And it is in this, and maybe we join this with the last point, but it is in this that Naomi is so useful. The Lord has given her Naomi as her mother-in-law and that she loved, and she is her advisor and her encourager in this. And she's able to interpret to her things that she can't see the benefit and blessing, but Naomi can. And no doubt Ruth was not familiar what was a lot gleaned and what was not much gleaned. It was the first time that she was doing so. She wasn't used to whether what she got was a lot or not. Was it just the usual? But Naomi, she says, blessed be he of the Lord. She says, where hast thou gleaned? Where hast thou wrought today? In verse 19, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Naomi is noticing that someone has taken knowledge because of how much that she has gleaned. Are we in a position to, when a seeking soul, a gleaner in Christ's field, partakes of blessings of the Word of God, that we are able to say, God has taken knowledge of thee today. This that you have gleaned is not what is just usually gleaned day by day. This is a special gleaning. This is showing that someone has taken knowledge of you. God has taken knowledge of you. In this case here, Naomi as yet doesn't even know that it is Boaz, but it is someone. And then when she confides in her who it is, then Naomi's knowledge again is of such value. She knows what Ruth didn't know, that Boaz was actually related. Not only did she know that he was related, Naomi knew what the law was as described in Deuteronomy 25. And that was that when a man died without issue, without a child, then his brother should marry his widow. And the first child that was born to that marriage should be in their brother's place and inherit that which is brother's. So his name was not lost in Israel and his inheritance was not lost. But it needed to be a near kinsman. And Naomi, she knew that law. She knew what the provision was for one that was a near kinsman. Now, through the preaching of the word, through the advice of the people of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted in the same way as Naomi exalted Boaz, to point out that the Lord Jesus Christ is a near kinsman. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, made under the law, and made of a woman, so that he could redeem them that are under the law. Naomi was clearly able to say that he is in a position to be a kinsman redeemer. He is able to redeem you. He is able to marry you to raise up seed for you. He is able to turn your poverty into riches. He is able to turn your captivity, as it were, to great blessing. How she would have then seen Boaz in even a greater light than what she had seen him before, even when she's asking the question that she asks of Boaz, why have I found grace in thy sight? These things that Naomi is able to point out to her and interpret to her and encourage her. She says, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Wonder how many in our churches are the encouragers of the brethren, are those that point out to them the blessings that they are receiving to the honour and glory of God. What Naomi was able to point out to Ruth in what she had gleaned and who Boaz was, whose field she had gone to, his near kinsman to her, was not lifting up Ruth, but it was magnifying Boaz and giving Ruth wonderful encouragement, more encouragement that she'd even had than before when she asked the question in our text. So Ruth had known many favours. Some of those favours she had known, but needed to have them interpreted and magnified by another. We're exhorted to magnify God's work and to show it forth, and we should do that with others as well. Sometimes even when we do, they're not able to see it. They don't see the hand of the Lord. But that shouldn't stop us from still pointing out this wasn't chance. This wasn't just a usual thing. This is a token for good. This is the Lord's work. You know, when it was rehearsed to Laban and Bethuel of how the servant had his prayer answered at the well, then they said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. They were able to hear what had happened, and they gave their assent that this was the Lord's work. And this, isn't it? It must have been very encouraging to the servant to hear that on top of the blessings he'd had. And so may we do the part like that with Naomi. Well, I hasten then to the third point, which is Ruth's question answered. We have her question and the reason why and her humility and how she viewed herself. Then we have the reason, the favours that she'd had, and we've added others that she saw later on and had later on, is to make her ask, why have I found grace and had that favour shown to me? And he took knowledge of her. So Ruth's question answered. I want to just notice 3 points under this last heading. The first thing is that Boaz tells her of the fruits of grace that he had seen and heard of in her. Those things that she couldn't see in herself, Boaz, in answer to her question, tells her of. He had heard of her love to the Lord's people, specifically to Naomi. It was love that caused her to cleave to her, and we have a summary of that at the end of chapter 4, which is said that blessed the women answered, said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman and without that his name may be famous in Israel. And they had said that this woman, that how that she loved her. I can't set my eyes right on it at this moment. Yes, in verse 15, "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him." And I always like to note that in the book of Ruth, the very beginning that is marked of grace and of the blessings for Ruth is her love to Naomi, or her love to one of the Lord's people, not in prosperity, but in bereavement, in grief, and in sorrow. And what a blessing it would be. In this time with a pandemic and much bereavement and many sorrows, that the Lord's people in sorrow are able to be a help to those that are coming and seeking the Lord in the same sorrow. Naomi was a widow. Ruth was a widow. And her love, the drawing together, as Ruth saw, how that though Naomi felt the Lord had dealt bitterly with her, yet she wouldn't cast off her God. Naomi still desired to go to Bethlehem, still would serve him. And you know, the world and those coming sinners take notice when the Lord's people, under bitter dealings of the Lord, will not cast off their faith. They still cleave, they still follow, they still go with him. And so Boaz had heard and seen the fruit of the love to the people of God. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The second thing that he speaks of was the practical care that he had seen. James speaks of faith. Faith without works is dead. Boaz said, "Ruth, I've seen your practical faith. I've seen your care of the Lord's dear people." The third thing was her leaving and her cleaving. She left her own people and her own gods, and she clave unto Naomi and to her God, the God of Israel, the true and living God. And Boaz speaks of this that he had seen, and he says in verse 11, "It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." One great blessed mark of a seeker, one being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, is their leaving and their cleaving. "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And the fourth thing, the fourth fruit of grace that Boaz had seen and speaks of in answer to Ruth's question, this is grace I have seen, that ye have been brought to trust in the Lord. In verse 12 at the end there, "under whose wings thou art come to trust." What a blessed mark and favor of the Lord's people, that they are brought to trust. They are brought to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him and not themselves. Well, then we have not only the fruits of grace that Boaz had seen and heard of, but also a hidden reason for her success in gleaning. We have in verse 15 and 16 that which Boaz said to his young men when she had risen up to glean. So she hadn't heard this, but Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." "Why," says Ruth, "have I obtained favor? why these things that I have seen, these outward things of favor from you, Boaz, and a child of God may say, these things that I have seen as favors from the Lord, why is this? As if the Lord would say, I'll take you behind the other side of the wall, like the interpreter's house with Bunyan, and I will show you some of the secrets of those favors and blessings that you've had. And Boaz would have said, could have said to Ruth, I'll show you some of these hidden things. The reason why you glean so much, because I commanded my young men that they were to let fall some handfuls of purpose. And because I had told them to let them glean even, you even glean among the sheaves. You didn't know I commanded them that. And so you just gleaned there, perhaps assuming that that was quite all right and those handfuls of purpose, though the reapers were being a bit sloppy and they just left some and didn't realize that this was done on purpose. And it's a blessed thing when we look back. Every blessing freely given comes from the high decree of heaven. It's one thing to receive the blessings, another like the Samaritan who'd been healed of the leprosy, to realize that it was the Lord had given it and to turn to the Lord and give glory to the Lord. It's one thing for Ruth to have these favors, even the favors made her ask this question, but Boaz said there's more to that than those favors you knew of. I've been given commands on your behalf, so that you have those favors. And to a seeking soul, and those of you who have been blessed in the house of God, may you know God has given command for his servants. You take this text, you speak this word, you divide your text up in that way. You come on that occasion with this message because I've got a soul that must have this word. They must be blessed under this word. It's not just by chance. No, not that the eunuch has Philip come to him and that the eunuch is reading of that very passage in Isaiah 53 and that Christ is preached beginning there. No, this is God's sending and God's appointment. And so may those of you who have known the blessings and helps and encouragements of the Lord, the favors that Ruth knew here, know also that there is an underlying thing. Those blessings have come from the high decree of heaven. God has sent them. His favor is in it. His hand is in it. That God will own that at that last day. These are blessings I have given. And then there's a last aspect in this, our last point. And that is that the grace and knowledge, those true tokens, they are true tokens of the Lord's blessing. Of course, this was confirmed later in the marriage to Boaz. They were true tokens of a real favor that Ruth had gained to Boaz. And we would say, with what we have said, especially in the way of grace, for a seeking soul that has had these favors, that have traced them up to the hand of God and the blessing of God, that this grace and favor that has been shown you, the knowledge that God has had of you and how he has dealt with you in sorrows, distresses, difficulties, and how he has blessed you, they are true tokens of the Lord's favor. As sure as Ruth ended up married to Boaz, you will end up married to the Lord as his bride. The Lord gives grace, he gives glory. And where he gives grace like he did with dear Ruth and favors like this, it is that which leads to the marriage supper of the Lamb and to an everlasting union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth is a beautiful, beautiful illustration of that which leads up to a union with Christ. That which leads to Ruth's true and full reward. And may we see in this answer, the answer, Ruth's question and her question answered, a real assurance of her interest in Boaz. May you see it of a real interest in the Lord Jesus Christ and in those rich blessings, eternal blessings that he blessed his dear children with. And though ye be not yet proceeded to chapter four, and walk the full path, know that as you've gone this far with dear Ruth, the Lord will lead you on further still. And as we mentioned this afternoon, there came that time as Ruth had set her petitions to Boaz, again on Naomi's advice, then there is a sit still, my daughter, and a man will not be in rest until he had finished the thing this day. Boaz has had much to do with Ruth here in her gleaning, in her first coming into his field, and it ended up in that union together. Well, may the Lord bless this word at this harvest time, and may it be a harvest of souls tonight, today. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.